We're grateful for you all leading us. We're grateful for the work you put in. Martha, we're grateful for the work you put in. And we praise the Lord because we know He's the one who supplied them with these talents to lead us in worship today. I want to invite you to grab a Bible, if you would, and open with me to Romans chapter 8. If you're going to grab a pew Bible there in front of you, you'll find that on page 1201. Romans chapter 8. And this morning, I simply want to encourage us with the message of Resurrection Sunday. What difference this makes for us, not just about a one-time decision to put our trust in Jesus for what He's done, but what difference this makes for us every single day going forward for as long as we live and into eternity. This week I was in Nicaragua, as you know, with our team. 12 of us went to Nicaragua. We left last weekend and returned yesterday afternoon. And while we were down there, we met an incredible lady. Her name is Jennifer. Jennifer encouraged me greatly. She encouraged me greatly this week. And Jennifer has two young children. You see the little boy kind of there in the background, Oswaldo, 4 or 5 years old, and a precious little girl who's just over a year there in front of her. Not long ago, Jennifer's husband left her and moved in with another woman there in their village, and just completely abandoned Jennifer with her two young children and this little home here. It was probably about 10 by 12, just scrap tin, a dirt floor with wooden posts, not dug into the ground, just sitting there kind of on top of the dirt. So imagine a room probably smaller than your living room. This is where everything was for her home. She had no sink. She had a rusted out top of a barrel that was about to fall through that she made a little fire on inside her house to cook her meals on. This little shack was so rickety when we dismantled it to build her a new home, it didn't take much more than a small shove just to knock it on over. This was Jennifer's condition. And as she shared with Leticia this week, early on, she said her prayer was that no matter how poor I get and no matter how hungry I become, I pray that I'll always keep faith in Christ. I hope I would pray the same prayer if I were in her shoes. Today is Resurrection Sunday. And the resurrection is proof that God is going to answer that prayer for everyone who trusts in Jesus. The resurrection is proof that God will answer that prayer for everyone who trusts in Jesus. So listen, it doesn't matter what you're facing this morning. It doesn't matter what you're facing, if you're facing a job or a family issue, a health issue, some kind of situation at work, and something that's knocked you down. It doesn't matter if you're dealing with a personal struggle or a strain in some relationship that you just can't fix and it's causing some concern. It doesn't matter about your doubts or your fears, your personal failures of your past. Those things don't matter. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ are proof that God has done everything you need, that God is doing everything you need, and God will do everything you need to remain in His love forever. The resurrection of Jesus is the proof of that. That's the message of Easter, and we find those things for us here at the end of this incredible chapter of Romans 8, beginning in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Father, we praise You for those truths this morning. God, we need Your Word. We need these truths. We face situations in life. We have or we will that make us doubt and make us worry. And God, make us wonder about Your love. But Lord, today of all days, remind us. Remind us of what the message of this day shows us. Encourage us and strengthen us, Lord. We need it, and You give it to us through Your Word. And we pray now, Lord, that You would teach us in Christ's name. Amen. What's the message of Easter? Very simply, the message of Easter is that God gave up Jesus for us. God gave up Jesus Christ for us. He says in verse 31, what shall we say to these things? He's speaking of everything He's just mentioned from beginning of chapter 8 up to through verse 30. What shall we say now? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, a lot of people can be against us. And you know that, and you've felt that, and you've sensed that. You see that in our culture, and many of us see that every single day. If God is for us, who can be against us? A lot of people can be against us. But no one of consequence can be against you if God is for you. No one who matters can be against you if God is for you. If God is for you, the only one who ultimately matters, He's on your side. It doesn't matter who opposes you. So there's a more significant question, really. How do we know God is for us? How do we know God is for us? Well, you can just read through Romans 8 and you see it very strongly. I would encourage you to do that today. Read this chapter. Read Romans 8 today. He tells us in the first part of Romans 8 that He has done everything just required by the law so that we might receive the righteousness of God in Christ. He tells us that He's given us the Spirit there in verse 9 and through. He's given us the Spirit. His own Spirit is now in us. He has adopted us as His children, He tells us. He tells us that the hope of what's to come keeps us going, and nothing we suffer through here is worth comparing to the glory that we'll receive one day. He tells us that the Spirit helps us and the Spirit intercedes for us. God is for us. We find that certainly in the very next verse. He who did not spare His own Son, verse 32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. There's two things to remember when you think about the death of Christ. That God didn't spare His own Son, but He gave Him up for you. There's two things to remember. Number one, you should remember the love of God for you. This phrase here, He who did not spare His own Son, we see something very similar in Genesis 22. In Genesis 22 is when Abraham is asked by God to offer up his son Isaac. You remember, many of you, this story. They go on this journey, and Abraham is going to offer his son Isaac, and he builds the altar. He lays the wood, and he binds his son, his only son, this son that he has been waiting for all of these years, this son of promise, his only son, he binds him on the altar. He raises the knife, and he is about to sacrifice his son to God. And God stops him. And God provides another sacrifice. Don't do it, He says. And in Genesis 22, He says, now I know. Because you have not withheld your son, now I know you fear me, is what He says to Abraham. God didn't withhold His son. He sent His son up that hill carrying that wood to be sacrificed. And this time we see that the son was the sacrifice that we need. And when we see God giving His Son, His only Son, now we say, now we know that You love us. You did not spare Your own Son. You did not withhold Your own Son. God, we know You love us. And we also know the love of Christ in this. In John chapter 10, verse 15, Jesus says, I lay down My life for the sheep. This is the love of the Father giving His Son, and this is the love of Christ laying down His own life for us. This is the message of Romans 8:32. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. If He's done the most significant thing, if He's done the greatest thing in giving up His Son, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? He will give us everything we need. The death of Christ was proof of that. If He did the greatest thing for you, He'll do everything else for you. Romans 8:32 tells us that clearly. Here's what this means. Christian, no charge against you will stand. No charge against you, if you're in Christ, will stand. Verse 33, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. You've been justified. Nothing that comes against you, no charge that comes against you, nothing in your past or nothing in your future that comes against you, a charge against what you've done, nothing will stand. God has justified you. He's declared you, Christian, not guilty. Colossians 2:13 and 14 tells us about this. It says, you who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. How do you do that? By canceling the record of debt that stood against us. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. When the Father saw the Son being nailed to the cross, that was my record of debt that was there with Him. That was nailed to the cross. That list of everything that I have done against God, that list of everything I ever will do against God, that was what was nailed. That was nailed to the cross with Christ. There is no charge against me that will stand. So there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what Romans 8:1 says explicitly. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Christ's death was Him taking on all the condemnation. The sentence of punishment that you and I deserve, He took on the cross Himself. He took on that cross for you. There's no charge against you that will stand, Christian. There's no condemnation for you, Christian. Non-Christian, this morning my prayer is that you would know that this is what is offered to you in the gospel. This is the invitation of Easter for you. This is what is offered to you in the gospel. This is the message of Easter, that God gave up Jesus Christ for you. And God raised up Jesus Christ for you. God gave up Jesus Christ for us, and God raised up Jesus Christ for us. He didn't stay dead. He rose on the third day. He was alive with the disciples, and He's alive still today. Romans 8:34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised. He's alive. And then Paul tells us that He has all authority and that He's acting on your behalf. Christ Jesus is the one who died, and He's the one who was raised, who is now at the Father's right hand, who indeed is interceding for us. This is what 8:34 says. He is now at the position of authority. He's at the right hand of God. But He's not just sitting there and watching. He's interceding for us. He's praying for us. Jesus is acting as your high priest. He tells us that all our prayers offered in accord with His will be answered. His prayers will certainly be answered, and He's praying for you, Christian. He's interceding for us. That's what He's doing. That's His work now at the right hand of God. And since all of this is true, we can be confident that verses 35 through 39 are true. God gave up Jesus for us. God raised up Jesus for us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. He's saying all of these things we face. We have brothers that are being killed around the world by the hundreds, thousands, every day. And we face these things. We face persecutions, we face tribulations, we face distress, we face famine. We saw that this week. But Paul says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Some of your versions say we overwhelmingly conquer. I like what John MacArthur says. He says, those who the world thinks are overwhelmed and conquered, Jesus shows they overwhelmingly conquer. We do that through Christ. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, nor angels, nor rulers, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're trusting in Christ, you need to know that the death and resurrection of Jesus changes everything. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ are proof. They're proof that God has done, God is doing, and God will do everything we need to remain in His love forever. Christian, nothing that comes against you can remove you or separate you from the love of God in Christ. Nothing. Nothing. Easter is an annual celebration of the truth that everything we need was secured by the cross and the empty tomb. That's what this day is, Christian. If you've not yet trusted in Christ, Easter is an invitation to do so. This morning. Don't wait. We've been reminded right here in our community this week, we don't know what tomorrow brings. Don't wait. God has done everything you need. Everything you need for forgiveness. That's the message of Easter. There's going to be one more song we're going to sing, and I want to encourage you during this last song as the choir leads, I want you to pray. I want you to consider. Christian, I want you to sit and worship Him for who He is and what He's done for you. Non-Christian, receive Him as your Savior. Receive Him as your Savior even now. You can come down and talk with me if you want to as the choir sings. That's okay. I'm going to sit right here. You can come down and talk with me, or you can stay right there in your seat. You simply confess to Christ, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I've sinned against You. I've disobeyed You. I deserve the punishment of death, just as Your Word says. But I trust Jesus that He died in my place. He took that punishment for me. And I ask You to forgive me and give me life. Express that faith through Him in prayer. You can do that right where you are, and you can talk with me after we're done. I want to talk with you today if you're wrestling with that. If you made that decision today, I want to talk with you. You respond in this time as God leads. Worship the risen Savior. Let's pray.